makes you want to be there. Everything, peace and joy, no tears, no heartaches, no trials, no troubles, just us and Jesus. How great that's going to be. Amen. You know, I got loved ones that I hope get their hearts right with the Lord and make it there. But if they don't, and this, don't take this the wrong way, but if they don't, when I get there, it won't matter anymore. The only thing that's going to matter there is Jesus. Amen. We talk about all kinds of things, but the only thing that matters in heaven is Jesus. Amen. Y'all pray for David and I tonight. We're going to head out right after service, well, maybe sometime around 11 or so, and go down and try to get arrangements made up for my sister and everything, and don't know just what we're doing yet, but just pray for traveling mercies for us. You know, when he drives, I got to, I don't sleep, I just got to keep one eye on him. He's always been that way. I worry about him when he travels by himself and everything, but the Lord has watched over him all these years. I guess he'll keep him now. Y'all pray for him. God's dealing with him. And I know the Lord's going to do a work. It's just going to be an amazing thing one day. You know, I asked you to pray for my oldest sister. I told you she was a drunk, had a gambling problem. She didn't go to church, but she started listening to the CDs. And she heard on the CDs, I asked you all to pray for my sister that was a drunk and had a gambling problem. And it took years. But just a couple years ago, she called me one day and said, I've got something I want to tell you. I said, what's that? She said, I asked Jesus to save me, and I believe he did. Amen. She's 81 years old. I'm glad God saves old sinners. Amen. And I know by Christian standards, maybe she's not perfect, and she don't do everything just perfect. But the Bible says all we had to do was trust and believe. Amen. She did that. My youngest sister that died this morning had gave that testimony a long time ago that she trusted Jesus. And they didn't get out much the last few years and live up on that little hill. And sometimes the road was so bad you couldn't get in and out. Nobody to fix it. They're just down there by themselves and everything, and folks would come and have church at their house sometimes. I'm thankful for people who go to homes and have prayer meeting in the house when folks can't get out. But just pray for us as we travel tonight, and just pray that we can get things set up and God's will be done. Turn in your Bibles with us into Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Had a great time in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I'm so thankful for a church that is loving and caring and compassionate to one another. Brother L, you missed it this morning, dude. Well, you know what? We got the spray back there. We could spray him up. If I wasn't traveling tonight, I'd probably still be pink. Amen. Well, they said I looked red up here under this light. I don't know. But I tell you what, that's what church is all about, supporting one another. Amen. That's why we come to church, that we might encourage and help one another. I can worship God anywhere, but he said, let us gather in his house. Amen. That in the midst of our worship, we might be an encouragement to each other. That's not what it says directly in Hebrews 10:25, but you go read Hebrews 10:24 and 25, and that's what he's saying. We need to be in God's house. Amen. We need it. I told you this morning, we don't come here because it does God any good for us to be here. We come here because we worship God. Amen. And we don't come here for me. We don't come here for the church. We don't come here for you. We come here to worship God. Amen. And in so doing, he touches and blesses our heart, and he moves in our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter number 5, verses 28 to 30, the Bible says, "And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again." Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for its encouragement, its help, its hope that it gives us, the strength that we draw from it. We thank you, Father, for your bride, for your church, Lord, and the help that we find in the midst of being a part of something that's so precious unto you. God, we thank you for the members of this local assembly, for each one tonight, Lord, that has come out, for each one that was here today, and all those who come to show their support to Sister Tanya. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that in some way we may have impacted not only her lives, but the lives of others that are seeking hope and looking for hope. And God, we know that the only place we're going to find hope is in you. And help us, Lord, tonight just to desire of you the hope that we need for all things. Now, Lord, teach us from your word tonight. Help us, Lord, to humble our hearts and submit our lives unto you, that it might be well with our souls. And in the midst of everything, we might find joy, we might find peace, we might find contentment in serving you. We ask it in Jesus' name tonight. We say amen. In verse number 29, the Lord is speaking. He says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." You know, God is talking to Moses. He's speaking to about his people, and Moses is going in Deuteronomy. If you don't know, Moses is just rehearsing their relationship with God, how God has been so faithful and God has been so good. God has delivered him, how God gave him the law and God gave him the way to go and the means to know how to go when they should go by looking to the law and looking to his instruction and his guidance for them, the way to find the peace and separation that they need that keeps them from the effects of sin that the other nations that they were going in to dispossess had known, and how they had rebelled and how God had been so long-suffering and patient with them. Even to the point, you know, he wanted at one point just to annihilate them all and to start over. And Moses interceded. Aren't you thankful for interceding prayer? Aren't you thankful for the time that somebody interceded on your behalf? We didn't deserve salvation, but somebody prayed for us. Amen. And I tell you what, if you don't know who that somebody is, it might have been a mom or dad, but let me tell you what, you can go all the way back in the book of John, and you can read over there in John 17, as the Lord prayed his prayer, the Lord interceded on our behalf. Amen. I don't know, I'm thankful for moms and dads and aunts and uncles and friends and family and church members that intercede. But praise God, there's nothing like when Jesus intercedes on our behalf. Amen. But Moses is rehearsing. He's telling them to remember. You know, the Bible wants us to get past our sin, but it tells us sometimes we need to remember. Remember last Sunday morning service? Remember Lot's wife. Who said that? Jesus. Amen. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what happens when we lose sight of where we should be going. We lose sight of where he's brought us from, what he brought us out of, and we look back to it. He tells us in the upper room as he's with his disciples, and they're partaking of their last meal together, the Last Supper. He tells them to remember. When you do these things, remember. This do in remembrance of me. There's things that we need to be reminded of. We need to remember. That's what Moses is doing. He's helping them to remember. They're getting ready to enter into the promised land. He's not going to be able to go with them because he got in self. Anybody ever get in self? Sometimes we criticize these people in the Bible. Amen. But you know, they might be guilty of one thing, but we're guilty of everything that every one of them's ever done. Amen. Moses got in self, and God said, because you got in yourself and you didn't do things the way I told you, you didn't honor me and give me the honor in it, you're not going in. But God says right here something that I think is so important. I think you're here tonight because that this is so important. I want to preach to you tonight. Do you have a heart for God? Do you have a heart for God? You see, a heart for God is a heart that is sold out. Not sold out to the world, not sold out to the riches and the trappings of the world, but sold out to God. You've committed yourself unto him. You've not just committed your way, you've committed your heart. There's a lot of people who can come in and out of churches, and they can go through the motions of worship and go through the motions of religion, but they haven't sold their hearts out. Do you have a heart for God? Amen. There are people who go into the world and they do all kinds of things and they do good deeds and good works, and they have a desire for people to know that they care and that they love and that they're concerned and that they worry about them, but they don't have a heart for God. Amen. It's easy to do good works and to do good deeds and to hear people say, oh man, that was such a great thing you did. You're such a good person, and you do this and you do that. And you can do that and not have a heart for God. But do you have a heart for God? Is he above everything? Is he before everything? Is he more important than anything? Verse 29. God says, oh, that there were a heart in them for this. See, the people had done been reminded of the law that God had given them. And they said, oh, man, we're going to do this, but, you know, we've heard God speak. What people have heard God speak and have lived. What people have heard the very voice thunder from heaven speaking directly to them and have lived. This is terrifying. We've seen the thunder and the lightning on the mountain as he spoke from in the clouds. What people have ever had this privilege? Moses, all that he said, we will do. We'll do all these things. But only you stand and only you talk to God and you listen to God and you tell us what God says and we'll do it. And God says, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You're here tonight. I believe you've got a heart for the Lord. Amen. You know, this is a message that, you know, you could preach to try to encourage and convict people to come in, but tonight, I want you to just grasp this and just to see it from a way of just how blessed we are to have a heart from the Lord. You know, when you read how the Lord says that, oh, that there were such a heart. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me. You see, when we have a heart for the Lord, it blesses the Lord. It's his desire. It's what he wants. What did God create man for to begin with? For fellowship with him. For a relationship with him. A relationship of ones who were created beings not to serve and not to do his bidding, but ones who were created just for the sole purpose of fellowshipping God on his terms and on his level, not as gods, but in his likeness and in his image, just like God in every way, in every aspect. We have all the attributes of God. We have a body. We have a soul. We have a spirit. just as God is able to be recognized in the presence of the body, in the presence of his spirit, and to his eternal soul that the Bible tells us about, God never made any of the other beings just like he made us, and he made us for his fellowship. And God says, oh, that they would have a heart. Oh, that they would have a heart. You know, when we sell out and we have a heart for God, it just blesses the Lord. You know, the Lord blesses us. But do you know that we can bless the Lord? Amen. We can bless the Lord by having a heart for him. We bless the Lord by worshiping him and honoring him with our being and our very lives. It's not about what we say, but it's about what we do. Amen. You know, it's easy to say one thing. Jesus said over, or God said over in Isaiah, he said, man, this people draw near unto me with their lips. He said, but their hearts are far from me. See, what God wants us to do is have a heart that has a desire for him. A heart for God. A heart that is sold out for him. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. In Isaiah 66, the Lord said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made. Oh, we can build buildings. Man, we can put the trappings in the building, all the fancy things. But that's not what God is after. We can bring the bulls and we can bring the goats and we can bring the sacrifices, but that's not what God is after. Amen. See, the Jews, they got into the place where they thought that as long as they just went through the motions and went through the rituals and they brought their bulls and their goats and they made their sacrifices, God would be happy. And that's all God wanted. That's not what God wanted. He wanted their hearts. Amen. You know, when he has your heart, you bless the heart of God. When he has your heart and your heart is sold out to him and you're surrendered to him, it means so much to him. He says, oh, that there was such a heart in them. Man, you know what he wants from us? Just a little piece of a heart. Amen. Just give him. Just give him our undivided attention. Give him our life. Give him our children. Give him our families. Give him everything. Be willing to say that everything I have belongs to the Lord, and whatever the Lord wants to do with it, so be it. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me always and keep my commandments. Man, I tell you what. There's nothing like just speaking the name of Jesus and worshiping him in your troubles and your trials. We pulled in yesterday, seen Sister Sherry walking across the parking lot, and we knew what she was doing. You see the mouth. You know? She wasn't blaspheming. She wasn't speaking foolishly. She wasn't speaking trivially. She was singing praise unto the Lord. I didn't even have to ask her. We didn't even have to ask her what she was singing. We pulled in and we just seen her. Amen. I get walking around sometimes singing songs. And people say, what are you, what you saying? What are you doing? I said, I'm just singing. Oh, man, what you singing? Man, you start telling them about your singing. He's my king. I like that song. We heard that night. King. Amen. Josh likes that song too, if you didn't. Yeah. If you haven't figured that out, he really likes that song. He's my king. I don't have a problem going around singing that. Amen. I don't have a problem with the world knowing that. Amen. I want the world to know he's my king. He's my all in all. Amen. I want my thoughts and in my troubled times and my hurting times and my trying times, I want my thoughts to be of his blessings and his goodness to me. Not complaining. I can complain. Anybody, can anybody else relate? I can complain. But you know what I find out? When I praise in the midst of my problems and trouble, amen, it's a whole lot better. Amen. You know why? Because then God knows he has my heart. And even in the midst of my trials, I can still praise him. Paul said, I've learned whatsoever state I am therein to be content. You know what? He had Paul's heart. Oh, that there was such a heart in them. Oh, God's plea. God, can you just hear it? Can you just hear it? I know my voice is messed up. My throat's raw. It just feels so raw. But can you just hear it in God's words as you read that, as you say, okay, can you just hear God say, oh, that there was such a heart in them. His desire and our ability. Amen. Our abilities to be a blessing unto God. Amen. When we let him have our heart. But not only does it bring a blessing, not only is it pleasing to the Lord, it brings a blessing upon the individual. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them. Amen. Man, have you ever stopped to account the blessings that God just bestows upon you from day to day? From moment to moment? Every day. Do you just stop and start counting the blessings? Amen. I like that song with that hymnal. We sang out of the hymnal, Count Your Many Blessings. I've always loved that song. Amen. Because you know what? You can't count all the blessings that come to you from on high. Amen. You can't begin to count all the things that God has done for you in a day. He brought a life into you again another day. He's raised you up. He's put food on the table, shoes on your feet, clothes on your back. He's given us jobs. He's given us the opportunity. In America, we are some of the most blessed people in the world, and we are the people that our hearts are farthest away from God, I believe, sometimes than anybody else. I was just reading a little while ago before we come to church over in Nigeria, and I'm trying to think of his name, the missionary in Nigeria. Yeah. Yinka Fasenro. Yeah. Yinka Fasenro is in Nigeria. He's a church planner. Y'all, anybody remember Yinka? He's been here. How many remember Yinka? Some of you do, man. I tell you what, you guys need to start paying attention to your missionaries when they come through. Amen? Because some of these guys got fascinating stories. Yinka is from Nigeria originally. He went back to Nigeria as a missionary, as a church planter. He's planted churches all over southern Nigeria. But in the north of Nigeria, the Muslims have taken over. And Christians from the north were coming to the south to these camp meetings and these conventions and these revival meetings and these crusades that they were having, and were getting excited, and they asked him to come into the north and plant churches. And Yinka has been going into the north and planting churches. He says it's dangerous, but he goes. Why? Because he's got a heart for the Lord. He's willing to sell out. He's willing to give it all. Why? Because he's got a heart for the Lord. I was reading just before we come to church tonight of a pastor, his wife, and his three children that were burnt alive in their home by Muslims in the northern part of Nigeria. You see, we're some of the most blessed people on earth. And yet we're people who have our hearts farthest away from God. We want all the blessings of God, but we don't want to be bothered with God. Amen? We live under a nation that I believe God has had his hand upon, but is slowly trying to push his hand away. But man, I don't ever want to lose sight of the fact of how blessed I am. God said, oh, that they would have a heart for me. That they would have such a heart in them to fear me and to keep my commandments always. Oh, it blesses God, but man, when we have a heart for the Lord, it blesses us. Amen. I've seen some of the people with the least, according to man's standards, to praise God for in this life, have a heart for God and feel like they're the most blessed people on earth. Some of the poorest people feel like they're kings and queens because of the blessings of God's hand upon them. They have never come out and never complained about their situations and never complained about their circumstances. The only thing that they could do is praise God for how blessed they are. I tell you what, church, if we'd start just counting our blessings and stop just complaining about every little thing that goes along and just praise God for all his blessings upon us, irregardless of how little we have or how much we have, we got to realize that every blessing we have comes from the hand of God. Amen. You know, by placing the Lord first in our lives, we place ourselves in the place where we can be blessed the most by God. Do we not? Amen. You know what? I found the more I surrender to God and the closer I get to him, the more I'm blessed irregardless of what's going on. Irregardless of what happens. Jesus said over in Matthew 6, 31 and 34, it says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or drink? Or whether all shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what he said? When we put God first, amen, when we give him first place in our heart and in our life, we don't have to worry about anything. When we seek first the kingdom of God, we seek first what pleases God, what makes God happy, what makes God smile. Well, you know, a few years ago, she got on that song, God Wants to Hear You Sing. Can you remember it? God Wants to Hear You Sing. Y'all remember that song? That's an awesome song. Man, when you start praising God, amen, you start letting him know that he's first no matter where you're at. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. It changes the outlook. It changes our outcome. It changes the way we feel about our circumstances. When we have a heart for God, it blesses the Lord, but praise God, it blesses us. What's Marty's sister's name? Karen. Karen taught us a lesson many, many years ago. Me? She was a missionary to Bolivia, to the Quechua Indians. And he said one of the hardest things for her to learn to do was, as she was ministering to them and giving to them, was to learn to take from them. Sometimes in ministry, it's hard and it's a hard lesson to learn. But you see, she taught us a simple lesson. Hold your hand out. If I'm going to give you a blessing, my hand is open as well, and I receive a blessing. Amen? It don't have to be anything in it, but I can give you a blessing because your hand is open. But when I give you a blessing, my hand is open to receive a blessing. Amen? You know it works that way with the Lord. Amen? When we put him first and we're willing to say, Lord, here's what I have. Here's what I have, Lord. I'm going to give it all to you. I want to be a blessing unto you, Lord. That leaves us in a position. It leaves us in a place where we can receive a blessing. Amen. Thank you. So simple, yet so profound. So simple that even a child can grasp that concept. But so hard for us to get through our heads and our hearts sometimes. That it's all God's. We just need to let him have it all anyway. We just need to surrender it all and say, God, we know it's all yours. He said, the heavens, my throne, the earth's my footstool. He says, y'all want to go build a house to me and claim that you've done something? It's all mine anyway. Amen. Psalm 50, he says, I own the cattle on a thousand hill. He says, and you think that you're giving me a bull or a goat, and you think you're making an offering and you're doing something to me, it's all mine anyway. God says, I want your heart. I want your heart. Do you have a heart for the Lord tonight? If you have a heart for the Lord tonight, you can be some of the most blessed people in this world. Amen. I don't care what you're going through. Cancer can't change that. Amen, can it, Tanya? You know you're blessed because you're in the Lord's hands. You're in the Lord's care. Amen. It makes no difference what happens. It makes no difference what comes your way when you have a heart for the Lord and you're willing to say, Lord, you're everything and I give you everything. Praise God, you don't have to worry about anything because you know you have it all because you have the heart of the Lord. Because the Lord has your heart. When you have a heart for the Lord, it's pleasing to the Lord. It blesses the Lord. When you have a heart for the Lord, it's a blessing unto you. But when you have a heart for the Lord, it brings blessing to our posterity. Look at what he said in the last part of that verse. He says, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You know, God has a lot to say about his people living for him and living close to him and the result that it has on their children. Amen. The children will never be held responsible for the parents' sins, but the children have to suffer many times for the parents' sins. Amen. But he tells us if we have a heart for God, there's some things that won't change, some things that can't change. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he should not depart from it. It doesn't mean he's not going to go to hell. It doesn't mean he's not going to go the way that you want him to go. What it means is when you train them in the things of the Lord, they can never get away from that. Amen. What you have instilled, what you have hid in their heart, what you have showed them by the life you live, by the testimony that you carry, by your heart for God, they can never get away from that. See, sometimes we interpret things, we read things, and we read it the way we want it to sound and the way that we want it to be. And when it don't happen the way that we think it should, we get all discouraged and we get all angry with God. But when you train a child up and you show them that you have a heart for the Lord and you teach them the things of the Lord, oh, they might go into the foreign land. They might get in the hog pen, but they can't get away. You know that prodigal son, when he got down to the foreign land, he got in the hog pen, he was remembering home. Amen. He was remembering what he was taught at home. He was remembering how things were at home. He was remembering how even the servants were faring at the father's house. Amen. He remembered all these things. And where did he want to go? He wanted to go back home. Amen. God tells us a lot about our children and a lot about what our faithfulness will What you doing down there? Nothing. Are you listening to my preaching? What am I preaching about? I don't think you're paying attention under there. Huh? He has a lot to say about children. And to tell us about our children. She loves me. She knows I love her. Don't you? All right. But he tells us we need to be faithful before our children. We need to let our children see that we have a sold out heart, a sold out life. It brings blessing to our posterity, our children and our grandchildren. It brings blessings to the church that we leave behind. You know, all of us one day aren't going to be sitting here.
That's right.
Amen. But those that we leave here behind us, amen, can find a blessing in the life that we live before them if we're sold out to Jesus. They can find a testimony. They can find an example. They can find a life that they can look at and that they can see and that they can hold up and not to put you on a pedestal, but they can hold up before them and say, this is an example. Man, we got all kinds of people that want to be role models in the world that aren't fit to be a role model for a dog. But the world's telling them they're role models. Hey, man, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have some good godly people as my role models. Hey, man, people who love the Lord, people who are sold out to the Lord. Isaiah, if you go study in Isaiah, you find out God has a whole lot in Isaiah to say about the children of those who follow the Lord and those who disobey the Lord. But in Isaiah 44, 3 to 5, he says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with the hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. God says, look, he said, I will pour out a blessing upon you no matter where you are. You can be a thirsty person. You can be in a dry and barren land. And I tell you what, America's starting to turn into a dry and barren land. Amen. But God said he would still pour his water out upon us, and our children will grow up, and they won't be ashamed to call themselves by the name of the Lord. They won't be ashamed to call themselves his people. He said, one will say, I'm the seed of Jacob. One will say, I will subscribe that I'm the house of Israel. They're not ashamed to say that they're God's people because they know.
Amen.
They've had godly examples going before them whose hearts were sold out to the Lord, whose hearts were given over to God. In Isaiah 61, 8 and 9, he says, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. You know the difference now. Don't get me wrong. I pick on Bryce. Where's Bryson? I pick on him all the time because he's my sidekick. A lot of times I love him. And I tell everybody I go, everywhere I go, he's one of the finest young men I know. But let me tell you something about Bryson. He's got an ornery side too. Don't we all? Yeah. But you know what? Even though he's got that ornery side, everywhere he goes, everywhere I take him, everywhere anybody's ever seen him with me, they say, man, that's a fine young man. I say, you don't know how much a fine young man he is. He's a fine young man. Josh sits back there. He's all quiet. You hardly ever hear a peep out of him. Fine young man. He's got an ornery side to him too. But he's a fine young man. Amen. And you know what? When people see him, they say he's a fine young man. You know why? Because he comes from a household. You know why? Because he lives in a household where people love the Lord. Man, Elena got up and sung up at High Point. And somebody come to me and told me, said, man, that girl can sing. I said, you better believe it. I said, you ought to hear her sisters and her mama. I said, they can sing too. And she got an ornery side. Just a side. But you know what? You could take her anywhere. And people know she's a child that's blessed of God because she comes from a family that loves the Lord, that marked that heritage is upon them. Oh, when we have a heart for the Lord, it just keeps going and going and going. When God begins to get blessed, he just begins to bless us, and he just keeps giving and giving and giving. Oh, that there were such a heart in him. I mean, I wish I could just get the emotion in that God is speaking. The power with it. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would love me and keep my commandments. Fear me and keep my commandments forever. That it might be well with them and with their offspring, with their children. You know, what God's desire for us is to be blessed. Amen. You know who interferes with God's blessings? Us. Amen. We blame it on the devil. We can blame it on circumstances. We can blame it on everybody else. The only person, the only individual, the only one who can affect your blessings from God is you. Paul and Silas were in the jail. Go sing it. Their chains were fastened tight down at the jail that night. That's what she needed. I would sing it, but I can't. This is our invitation. This is our invitation. Are you sold out to God? All he wants is your heart. In any circumstances, any trial, any situation, he wants to bless you.
Their chains were fastened tight.
The only one that can affect that you. Stand your feet tonight. You need to come to the altar. The altar's open.
Still Paul and Silas would not be dismayed.
They said,
let's lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord, and prove that we will trust him, come what may. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing around you, when the fiery darts around you and despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. He wants to hear our praise on our cheerful days. The good times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still
have a song,
that is when we bless
the Father's heart.
God wants to hear you sing
when the voice sing it and the hearts around you
and despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken.
Says your circumstances as hopeless as can be.
That's when God wants to hear you sing.
Sing chorus again.
God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, and despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken. Says your circumstances is hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing.
Brother Jimmy Sawyers, would you pray for these at the altar tonight?